لا حول ولا قوة الا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بالطه وياسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين ولتراب مقدم الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية وعلى وعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بالإسلام وأهلا، وتذل بها النفاق وأهلا، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. صلوات محمد. الحمد لله. And all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us this opportunity to commemorate these days of mourning, commemorate the event of Karbala. In the event of Karbala, there are lessons for people for all times. As I mentioned before in previous nights, as the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is a rahmat, is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the entire universe. Entire universe, which includes human beings, animals, plants. Not only these, but even a little, a fraction of a particle do exist in this world due to the blessings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And his progeny, that is these divine and infallible imams, being the successor of the last prophet, successor of the prophet who is the leader of all the prophets and apostles, they have the same blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have the similar responsibility towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. As Quran and the Prophet was light and guide for the entire universe. His infallible divine leaders, they are also light and guide for the entire universe. In a sentence which we recite in Dua-e Nutba, we ask Allah that where is that persons that with the blessing of that person Allah brings down the rain, His rahmat on this world, on this ground. And due to the presence of Imam al-Asr, all the food grow from this ground. It is from His barakah, His blessings, which Allah has given to him. So these personalities are unparalleled to any other personalities. These are light and guide. Manarul Hidayah wa Safinatun Najah. They are the tower of light and guidance. How that light tower guide the ships in when they were in seas and deep seas and they were going through the storms. That light guide those ships. Similarly, these people, Quran and Ahlul Bayt, are guidance and light for the entire mankind, for the entire universe. That's why they should not be, their teachings should not be limited to a part of our lives, and we may leave the other part of our life and do something else other than their teachings. As I yesterday discussing something about the pluralism, of course my topic is not pluralism, but just to give you a food for thought and go to do the research, because in these 10 nights we cannot discuss each and every topic in length. May Allah give you and me tawfiq that maybe later on at some time with some better scholar and alim over here, he may come and explain the minor details of pluralism and different sort of isms which do exist in this world, and how with different names and different pictures which has been portrayed differently at different time, at different venues, they have been named differently. Although, in nutshell, I would like to say, Islam do not negate pluralism absolutely, but it defines and clarifies that when it comes to the moral and ethics which is required for coexistence, to respect reciprocally each other, is acceptable, not only acceptable, rather it's been promoted by Islam that we should live like that. If you remember the initial years of the Holy Prophet in Medina, when they settled down over there and the first Islamic state was been established in Medina, there were been many Jews over there, there were been many Christians over there. What Holy Prophet said to them, if you don't interfere with our issues, if you don't try to deviate our people we do not have anything with you. We do not have any issue with you. But then the conspiracies who have been there from Jews of that time. So they were being sent out of Medina, and then they have been given place in Khaybar. Again, when they were being settled down in Khaybar, Holy Prophet said, now you are over there, live your life, practice according to your beliefs, and don't touch us. Again, they did the conspiracies. And at that time was when Muslims of Medina conquered the Khaybar. And it could not be possible without the help and the strength and of Iman of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. It's not that even in the event of Khaybar, it was just the strength, body and power, strength of his body, which Imam Ali possessed. No. It was the strength of Iman. Strength of Iman. If a person is a good conductor, that person can receive the energy and transfer it to other places. A log of a wood could be have more strength than compared to a plate of an iron, a little plate of an iron. But that strength is useless because it cannot receive energy, it cannot pass it to anything else. But at a little piece of a iron, which can be bent easily, but because it is a good conductor, can receive energy. And not just receive energy, but also able to convey it. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, besides having the strong and strength and strong physique, he was the most strongest, bravest person in his iman. In his iman. The strength doesn't come from multivitamins and these GNC stores. I don't want to sabotage their businesses, but yes, strength doesn't come from there, my dear. Strength doesn't come. And there are several examples in Islam. We can go through the different battles in which Allah says that it wasn't you who defeated this enemy. It was rather me who guided those arrows, who spared into the hearts of those enemies. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. That you haven't thrown the arrows to them and killed them. It was me who guided those arrows to the right place to kill them. Do you think it's strength from you? No. So if we would like to get strength, intellectual strength, spiritual strength, physical strength, community strength in our community, in our society, in our nation, in our beliefs, we should have strong relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with those that Allah has sent those things to us. That is the Quran and Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We cannot get strength just like that. It is from their power, the energy which they transfer to us. And this is not physical thing that you switch on the button and the electricity will come. No, there's some other connectivity is required. Munajat, dua, ibadat, thinking about their lifestyle, try to adopt them, repent and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah may forgive our major and minor sins and mistakes which we perform due to ignorance, or maybe that our carnal souls overcome us and empower us and force us that we fall prey to the wrongful acts. Yesterday we were discussing about, you need to relate these topics from very beginning. They are related topics. So if somebody has missed, they have to go through it, because initially we discussed that our main objective is that Ya ayyuhal insan innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadha fa mulaqi. That objective insan is that, O people, you may strive towards your Lord, a very hard striving, for mulaqi, so you can meet him, reach to him, seek his pleasure and acquire his pleasure, Allah's pleasure, rizwanullahil akbar. That Allah's rizwan and pleasure is the biggest reward for a mu'min, for a believer. For a believer. What Imam Hussein says in his one of his supplications, what he says, O Allah, the one who has everything in his life, but he doesn't have you, what he has. And if someone doesn't have anything in his life and he possess you and your pleasure, what he has lost. Imam Hussein is teaching us that the one who has the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rizā and rizwan, that person is the richest person. That person is the most prosperous person, most successful person, because that person has the pleasure and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is pleased for him. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irja'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Allahu akbar. That when the nafs should return back to Allah, the best quality is that creation should be pleased from Allah, and Allah should also be pleased from his creation as well. That from both sides, they both should be satisfied. Allahu Akbar. Radiyatan mardiyya. And these were the qualities that with those hearts, with those capabilities, these anbiya and a'imma alayhimus salam, they went back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot be achieved. It cannot be achieved without developing strong communication between ourselves and our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlai, Mawlai, أنت المولى وأنا المملوك فهل يرحب المملوك إلا المولى. الله أكبر. Imam Ali in his Munajat, what he says, you are my master and I'm your slave. Do I have any other place other than to go back to my master? Mawlai, Mawlai, anta al-razik wa ana al-marzuk. Fahal yarham al-marzuk illa al-razik. O my master, O my lord, anta al-razik. You are the sustainer. You are the one who will provide whatever I required in the form of material food or spiritual food or intellectual food. Razik doesn't mean and limit only to the materialistic food, my dear. Razzaqiyat is common. Rizq kareem. When usually when we recite in Taqibate Isha, what we say, oh Allah, I don't know where to find that rizq. We don't know where that rizq has been said. One of the meaning is that, yes, rizq, that to sustain the food, shelter, money, which we want, the wealth. This is one of its least meaning. But the topmost or one of the best meaning which has been interpreted is that, oh Allah, where to find your ma'rifah? How to find you? I don't know where to go, on the top of the mountains or into the deserts or into the sea. Where to go? Where to find? To whom I should approach? I don't know who's really going to teach me your ma'rifah and give that awareness. So we need to seek. If we could able to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have found everything. We have possessed everything. And if we have everything and do not have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have nothing. Because this world will going to perish. Our lives going to end in this world. So whatever we acquire in millions and billions and trillions and zillions, it will remain over here, rather it will be perished by the end of the day when the day of judgment will be there. Finished. Then what? But only those who have sent something for their life, which is hereafter, they will be safe. عيشت الرازية, because they have deposited into the accounts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have not spent everything in this world. Just remind you one of the beautiful verses of Quran. All the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful. What Allah says, Alladheena, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Surah Baqarah and verse number 262. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladheena yunfiquna amwaluhum fi sabilillahi, and those people who give and spend, yunfiqun. Yunfiqun, it's not just charity, it's giving something. Giving, helping maybe someone, to a friend, your brother, your sister, your neighbor. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They spend their amwal, their wealth, on the path of Allah. They spend their wealth to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا مَنَّا وَلَا أَذَى. Allahu Akbar. And after spending, if they give something, and after giving that help, assistance, charity, whatever you name it, it's not followed by showing off and hurting someone's feeling that you have helped someone, one of your friends, one of the mu'mineen, he needed something, he comes to you, you say, I would like to have 10 grand, can you give me that loan? You say, yes, why not? After you give him that money, you are telling this person, other person, he came to my house and he was depressed and I, you know, actually helping out. This is aziyat. This is called hurting someone. So infaq, charity, helping someone should not be followed. Not this will. If it is not like that, lahum ajrahum inda rabbihim. Those who will spend their wealth on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahum ajrahum. For them, rewards are there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun. And on the day of judgment, they have no grief. They will be no scared, that they won't be scared that what's going to happen to him, because he have already deposit enough wealth in his accounts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the day of judgment, for his life after death. Now, I have mentioned five pillars. This is one of the pillars. One, yesterday we mentioned about the education. Another pillar is economic and financial institutions, organization and systems which should prevail and which should be strengthened. And those economic and financial systems should be based on the teachings, divine teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. No nation, no country, no community can stand on his own feet until they plan something for this world and hereafter. For this world and hereafter. In one of the other verse of Quran, again it's Surah Baqarah, verse number 245, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man dhalladhi yuqridu Allahu qarzan hasana?" Who is it that will offer of Allah a goodly gift, qarzul hasana, loan without markup? "Fayudha'ifhu," that Allah, he will multiply it to him many fold. يُزَعِفْهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا, countless, many folds. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِزُ وَيُبْسِطُ إِلَيْهِ وَتُرْجَعُونَ. And Allah is the one who takes away and gives people. That if we sometimes are in financial problems, or these are tests. Now these are just the examples that every society should plan and should possess financial and economic systems. Unfortunately, we don't give much importance to these things because we are merely followers of whatever economic system is around ourselves, in our countries, wherever we are living. Many things we cannot change. I agree. Like Directly we cannot change, but yes, we can gradually if we work towards it. But there are few things which we can do. We can take initiative. Now, economic system, what can be done and what we should be doing. I go around many centers. I have gone around many centers in America, in North America, in Canada. I haven't seen in any of these centers, unfortunately, although I have not visited every center, I cannot say every center. Maybe there could be some centers, but I have visited many centers, but and big centers. No one has a department of HR, human resource. If a brother or sister is jobless, they may help guide them to get a better job. Maybe on individual basis, we will be doing it, helping people, yes. But when we want to develop a society based on Islamic teachings, so we should develop and create it an example of that within our small society of maybe 100, 200, 500 people, 1,000 people, whatever our numbers are, where are we are living. Another thing, system of Qarzul Hasana, providing loans without interest. Because over here in the banks, it's easy to take loans. Yes, but there are markup. It's not that very much allowed. The thing which is encouraged and which has been asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we within ourselves, we are 200 people, 500 people. Can't we start something with something small? Can't we take initiative within our centers? Can't different centers around this North America be able to connect with each other, have some collaboration, joint ventures? Why? Because we do not give importance to these type of things. Financially and economically, we are not that strong. You can see other communities. There are some communities, even in Muslims. Rather, they are, if we don't say they are the pure Muslims, but yes, they are being said Muslims. But will they have examples? Other people in your around yourself, you feel that there is a strong community bond to help each other, to strengthen. If one is having a good business, he may able to guide other people that this business is a good business and money minting business. You can also have the similar business. You can start it like this. You can do that. Why we do not think about it? Who will come and do this thing? Those who do not believe in Quran, those who do not believe in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, are they going to come? Or we are waiting for Imamul Asr and come and start the Qarzul Hasana bank for us? Or open a HR department for us? Or to help establish a business for our brother, someone, a believer, a mu'min brother or sister? Or it is our responsibility as a believer, to start with a very small thing. There is a need to think about it, my dear. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Kindly recite another Salawat Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. There's another area and the pillar on which we should educate ourselves and groom our souls and tame our carnal souls for that. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kale salat Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In Surah Al-Maida, verse number 8. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O those who are believers, kunu qawwamin lillahi shuhada bil qist. Be upright for Allah, bearers of witness with justice. And let not hatred of a people incite you not to act equitably. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعَدِلُوا. That nobody able to incite or instigate you to do something wrong. We should be having a strong belief, good education and knowledge about the ways and norms given to us by Islam. How to deal with people. How to do business and trade. What is right, what is wrong, what is halal, what is haram. What makes Allah pleased? Do we think about when we are going on our jobs, when we are doing our businesses, we are trading something? Do we think that this trade, this work, this thing, what I am doing, will make Allah pleased from me or not? If we are and we are careful, then we are very fortunate and we are on the right path. But if not and we are ignorant, so we should be awakened from that ignorance. We should be awakened from those ignorance and think about it. Allah ta'adilu, i'adilu huwa aqrabu littaqwa. And do justice because justice is close to taqwa. That if justice, another important pillar of a society is to establish justice. And another hadith and a verse of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya Da'ud, inna ja'allaka khalifatan fil ardh, fahkum bayna nas bil adl. O Da'ud, we have made you our khalifa. We have appointed you and sent you on my behalf over there in this world, on this earth. Fahkum bayna nas bil adl. That whenever you say something, it should be based on justice. No favoritism, no biasness. Justice is very much important, and it should start from ourselves. We should do justice to ourselves. Why, when we say in while reciting Dua-i Kumail, we say, "Zalamtu nafsi, zalamtu nafsi." That we have done zulm on our own selves, on our own nafs, by indulging ourselves in wrongful and sinful acts. So it is us that we should save our souls and guide them towards the right path. And besides that, within our family, it should be with justice amongst husband and wife, justice between parent and children, justice between grandparents and children, justice between brothers and sisters. Justice should prevail within ourselves, within our house, within our family, within our community. If we do not try to do that, how we can say that that system is not correct. The system is injustice. While I myself is not doing good with my own family. I am doing injustice and just blaming others. My society, my environment. Okay, they are wrong. But what about myself? Where they do not have any say. Where I can change it. Where I can establish justice. Even on those places, I do not try to establish justice and do justice among those family members. Yet another important pillar of Islam is family structure. Family structure. In one of the verses of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ سَيِّدِ سَلَوَاتِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِي مُحَمَّدٍ
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It says, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Save yourselves and your family from the fire of hell. This is the basic responsibility of the head of a family. Basic responsibility. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That save yourselves and your family from nar, from the fire of hell. We have family problems and issues, and there are injustice within our families, within the relationship of husband and wife, relationship of parents and children. Why? Just to give you in nutshell the issues. There are many things. If I start, the whole ashra will be about that, because I'm sitting and doing family counseling from last around 15 years. So there are so many cases to be discussed. But in nutshell, one thing, my dear. If we bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in between our relations will be based on justice. And believe me, if Allah is not in between our relations, Satan will be there. Satan will be there. And that's what we see. Because when we say that this is my right, I have the right, I can do this, I can do that, it's all based on the society in which you are living, in the country which we are living, it's all on the common basis. Have we asked that whatever right I am talking about, Allah has given that right to me or not? Or what sort of responsibilities has been given and put on the shoulders of men of that family, women of that family, a child of that family? What are the responsibilities? Number one. And more than the responsibilities, we are talking about to reach the excellence of mankind. So it's not that this is my right, this is your right, and I don't have responsibility in this, I don't have responsibility in that issue. I don't care about that matter, whatever it happens. No, we need to see that what sort of lifestyle I may adopt. A husband should adopt, a wife should adopt, a child, a son should adopt, a daughter should adopt. a grandfather, a grandmother should adopt so they can reach the excellence of mankind, close to the perfection, so they can seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa I hope that after going through these lectures, you have not been that tired. So if you are not tired that much, can you recite Salawat once more? Yes. We are 10 to 10 to accept lots of family norms from the societies in which we are living. If we are living in any Eastern society, we adopt many things which is in society, which doesn't have anything to do with Islam. It's just cultural. We adopt it. If you are living in a Western world, Western society, again, we adore something which is in the society on the cultural basis, nothing to do with Islam. But the culture has to be developed. Every culture, if you go through these things and study about these cultures, every culture has its philosophy and ideology behind it. No culture in any society, even if you go into the 5,000 years back society, there would be a philosophy of that culture, whether that's good or bad, doesn't matter. At times, those philosophies are in hidden or been forgotten, but there are. They are. It's not like that. Because culture is the extraction of something. It doesn't come from here and there. It is coming from somewhere. Now it could come from the Eastern people. Like if you go to the to Europe, like in UK, in London, in Bradford, in Birmingham, these have a place, Manchester, where the heavily Asians are populated. Arabs are over there. Many things you will see on the street doesn't belong to the so-called European society. They are belongs to something, some Asians or something like that. Because they are dominating over there, so they have adopted those things. So it is coming from somewhere. So just don't think it's nothing to do with us. No, it has to do with us. Directly or indirectly, it has its impact in our lives. In our lives. Just let me give you an example. Just give me an example. When we eat food, what is the sunnah? Although now we do not perform, most of us, at least over here, that we should eat with our fingers of our hands, okay? We use a spoon or fork. Now, if you go back around 15, 20 years, nobody used to use fork to eat. Everyone used to use spoon to eat. Now it's been changed. Changed. Now people eat with fork and have their soup with spoons. Okay? Another thing, nothing doing with that, nothing wrong with it. But where the wrong is, when you set the table, where you put your fork, on the right or on the left? Usually it's on the left. It's on the left. Why it's on the left? And your knife is on the right. If you are having steak, how you are going to eat it? You will cut it with your right hand and you will eat it with your left hand. Do you think it has something to do with Islam or not? Yes. Because we have been asked to eat with right hand. And because now our folk are on the left hand, so we have gradually adopted without thinking, and we start eating with our left hand. We say, oh, it's okay. Oh, okay, that was mustahab, or if we know about it. But that's how culture changed. You know, you elders, you may know, you may be able to remember and remind yourselves that we should be eating from the right hand. But what about your children or your grandchildren who will be here after 25 years, 30 years? Then what? Who's going to tell them? That's how I say people, countries do not invite immigrants to come just like that. It's a soft change. It's a soft revolution that after 50 years, many values will be diluted within our families, within our relation, within our cultural values will be diluted. Because our beliefs will be diluted, our cultures will be diluted, our Islamic habits will be diluted, and so on. We need to be on our feet, on our toes, if we really want to be the good believers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and good followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, that we should provide an environment for ourselves and for our kids to learn and gain knowledge from Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Sayyid Salawat Muhammad wa alayhi. Of course, now there is no time left for the last pillar to discuss, or the factor which is important for the establishment of a government, of a society. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue with that. But have we ever thought? Inshallah, we have thought about it. That why Imam Hussein left Medina. His slogan was that Urida an amura bil ma'ruf wa anha anil munkar. I would like to do amar bil ma'ruf and do nahi anil munkar, and would like to follow the footsteps of my grandfather, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and the footsteps of my father Ali ibn Abi Talib. Why? Because the values were being changed. We have read, you have heard about it, you have read about this, that even in Karbala, the both sides were offering prayers, salat. But there was Salatul Zuhr. Or before even that, a day before that, on the 9th, Imams sent a message. He asked Amr ibn Sa'd, would he like to join us in congregational prayer, or he will offer his own prayers? So there were people in the army of Yazid who were offering prayers, just like the companions who were with Imam Hussein, they were offering prayers. As in the companions of Imam Hussein al-Islam, they were being memorizers and reciters of Quran. In the army of Yazid, they were also the reciters and memorizers of Quran. So where the difference lies, my dear? Is it the namaz only? It is the sawm, fasting, recitation of Quran. The most important thing, that to whom you are following, who is your leader, who is your imam? Is it Hussein or Yazid? This makes difference, a lot of difference. And that's why, and one of the basic reasons that Hazrat Hur repent and sought forgiveness from Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that he realized that his Imam, his leader should not be someone like Amr Asad or Ibn Ziyad or Yazid. His leader and his Imam should be Hussain alayhi salam. The prime thing which is going to make the difference is the right leadership, to follow the right leadership of infallible Imams. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. On that day, when bodies were being scattered in the battlefield of Karbala, in Ziyarat Nahiya, Imam Zamana alayhi salam express his feelings and says, "Assalamu alayka, salam to those bodies which were being on grounds in blood and in sand. Salam to those bodies which heads were being cut off from their throat. Salam to the dry lips who were being killed without having any water." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Bodies were being scattered on that day. Hazrat Burair, one of his companions, Burair ibn Khuzair, is one of the companions of Imam Hussein, a reciter of Quran. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He came forward to Imam alayhi salam and said, "Imam, allow me to go in battlefield. Till we are alive, this enemy will not be able to reach to you. We will cut their hands. We will not allow them to hurt you." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Burair went into the battlefield. He fought bravely. He fought bravely. He killed and slaughtered many of the Yazid's army. But again, when they saw that they cannot encounter these type of people from front, someone comes from back and always struck their sword on their head. Allahu Akbar. The similar thing happened to him as well. And Hazrat Burair's head was being split into two, and he came onto the ground by saying his last salam to Hussein. "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, alayka min salam ya Aba Abdullah, accept my last salam to you, ya Aba Abdullah, ya Aba Abdullah." Zuhair ibn Qain, one of the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Zuhair wasn't the one who joined him from Medina. Rather, he joined him after performing a Hajj. What happened? You know what? Because Imam Hussain was moving with family, so they were moving slower. And he was alone with his just wife and his slaves. So he was fast. A time came when their camps were close to each other. Imam sent a message to Zuhair ibn Qain that Hussein would like to see. The grandson of the Holy Prophet would like to see you, would like to talk to you. Allahu Akbar. He was having his lunch with his wife. When the slave came, he little bit took time to take the decision. His wife said, "For what you are waiting for? Grandson of the holy prophet is asking for your help. And you are thinking and you are having a doubt to his helping and support him." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Zuhair ibn Qayn came into the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Nobody has, history hasn't narrated what they have discussed. But when he came out, he said farewell to his wife and said that, "Leave me alone and I will be going with Imam Hussein alayhi salam." His wife said, "No, I will accompany you. As I accompanied you in your life, I will be there when you give away your life." Allahu Akbar. Because Imam at several stage mentioned to his companions that if someone has any intention that we will have some wealth or booty or something like that, so they may go away. We are going towards Karbala to tender our lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sacrifice our lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people, the companions, stood with him, and Zuhair ibn Qayn was one of them. Zuhair ibn Qayn, when the time came, Zuhair came to Imam Hussain al-Islam. "Imam, allow me." Imam allowed him permission to go into the battlefield. Zuhair, one of the bravest soldiers of the Holy Prophet, he fought bravely. And then one spear was being thrown, which passed through his heart, and he came down from his horse and salute Imam alayhi salam. "Alaykum minni salam ya Aba Abdullah, as-salam ala al-Husayn wa ala ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. As-salamu alaykum جميع شهداء كربلاء ورحمة الله وبركاته. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم العظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء. يا الله 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 يا الله. ربنا تقبل منا هذا القليل. Oh Allah, accept this little ibadah from us. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, give us tawfiq to be the true and pure followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Oh Allah, enlighten our hearts and minds with the light and guidance of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to get the shafa'at and intercession of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq and tawfiq to our parents, and Allah forgives our sins and sins of our parents and sins of our forefathers. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to serve Islam and Muslimin. Oh Allah, help and assist and give success to the army of Islam anywhere in the world they are fighting for their right. Oh Allah, help the oppressed people all around the world, all the corners of the world, help them out. Oh Allah, oh Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, and give us tawfiq to be amongst his true and pure companions. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائي في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. ورحمة الله. حتى من حسين.